Today in the Gospel of Mark, we are given the famous story of the rich young man who is willing to follow God to an extent, but not to the fullest degree. The young man comes before our Lord and asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And our Lord responds, "Obey the commandments." And the young man tells him that he's kept them all since he was a boy. Now that's pretty good, right? But Christ tells him, there is one thing that he lacks. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and then come follow me. And the gospel tells us that at this, the young man went away sad because he had many possessions, and he was not willing to sacrifice them for God. He was willing to follow God to a degree, obeying his commandments. But when following God became inconvenient or conflicted with his interests, something he didn't want to do, he bailed on Christ. That was it. The young man picked and chose what he wanted to do in following God, but did not do everything that is required in following Christ. And this story is perfect for us to reflect upon as the presidential elections are approaching, because we too are going to have to decide whether we are going to be followers of Christ only to a degree or in everything. Now, there seems to be this unwritten taboo amongst American Catholics for priests to preach on political matters. And it comes from this concept that we like to call the separation of church and state. Now, first off, this is not a Catholic concept, by the way. But second, it has morphed into meaning that religion or religious beliefs cannot inform or affect civil or government matters. And this wasn't even its original intent. The idea of separation of church and state was first introduced into the American society by one of its founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson. And when you read Thomas Jefferson's writings on this topic, it's very clear that it was never meant to prevent religion from affecting or informing government or civil matters. In fact, it was the exact opposite. It was supposed to protect churches and the worship of God from civil interference, from government oversight, to prevent government from trying to get into churches' business and take control of religion. It was never supposed to be religion does not inform the political sphere, because God and religion are not separate from the political order. Because every society is ultimately supposed to be ordered to God. It's not just the church that is ordered to God. It's the entire social order, or at least it's supposed to be. The church and religion are distinct from politics, but they are not separate. It's just like with the human person. The body and the soul are distinct. They are very different from each other, but they're not separate. And it's only together in unity that you get a whole human being that is complete. If one is without the other, it is lacking. It is incomplete. Religion is supposed to inform civil society. And if it doesn't, if you separate God's church, religion, from the state, you get a society that is pagan and demonic. Just like those empires that existed before Christ instituted his church, or those civilizations that never had the exposure of Christianity, like the Romans, the Aztecs, the Huns, that butchered human beings at will and lived a sexually perverted way of life. Do any of those things sound familiar to you today? When you separate the church from society, you separate God from society. Religion and politics are two very different things, but they are not separate. They are supposed to be united together to make a complete and unified whole. But there are a lot of American Catholics who will say, well, the church can't tell me how to vote. I can vote however I want according to my conscience. It's my right. Separation of church and state. But you know what? The church doesn't tell you how to vote. God tells you how to vote. And the church is only his messenger. You know, a lot of people think when the church teaches something that a bunch of guys just get together and randomly start picking things out of a hat, saying, well, let's teach this today. Let's make this a rule. And unless you listen to what these guys decide, then you can't be Catholic. That's not what happens at all. We do not believe what the church teaches because the church teaches it. We believe what the church teaches because those truths have been given to the church by God to teach to all mankind. That is why we believe what the church teaches, is because God has made her his one and only guardian of his divine truths, his messenger. God is the one who tells you how to live morally, how to live a good moral life, what to do and what not to do to live correctly and be happy in this life. The church is only the conduit by which he has decided to communicate this. And voting, which involves a moral human choice, is one of those things that God tells you how to do through the church. But a lot of American Catholics think they can separate civil matters, politics, what they decide as Americans, from religion, from God, from Catholicism, as if God and country were divorced from each other, as if God's sovereignty does not extend to the voting booth. And this mindset was put into motion and popularized by a Catholic president, President John F. Kennedy. During his presidential campaign in 1960, he gave a famous speech to Protestant pastors at the Houston Ministers Conference, of which he expressed his idea of how his Catholicism would relate to politics, and it set the stage for many American Catholics today. And I am going to read to you a section from this speech. Kennedy says to them, "I am not the Catholic candidate for president. I am the Democratic Party's candidate for president, who happens also to be a Catholic." As if his identity as a Catholic could be divorced from his actions as a president. He goes on to say, "Whatever issue may come before me as president, on birth control, divorce, censorship, gambling, or any other subject, I will make my decision in accordance with these views, in accordance with what my conscience tells me to be the national interest, and without regard to outside religious pressures or dictates." As if he can decide, when it comes to national and civil matters, what is right and what is wrong according to his conscience, and religion and God have nothing to do with it. As if you can become your own God in civil matters. Kennedy may have been a good president and may have done good things as a president, but he was not a good Catholic. You cannot proclaim to be Catholic and then divorce your faith, religion, God, the very meaning of being Catholic from your political life, your political views. That is to become two separate people. The old term for that was hypocrisy. You cannot come to church to worship God on Sunday and then act like an atheist on Monday. You cannot profess to be Catholic, to be a child of God, to be Christ-like, to uphold morality, and then put that all aside when matters of politics and state arise. Which brings up a very important issue. Being Catholic and being part of the current Democratic Party. If you go to the Democratic Party's official platform, and you can look this up on the internet, and if you go to the section under healthcare, it makes it very clear that one of the aims and goals of the current Democratic Party is to bring about abortion. And I am going to read for you their official statement on this matter. Their platform states, "Democrats are committed to protecting and advancing reproductive health rights and justice. We believe unequivocally, like the majority of Americans, that every woman should be able to access high-quality reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortion." I am going to read that to you again. "Democrats are committed to protecting and advancing reproductive health rights and justice. We believe unequivocally, like the majority of Americans, that every woman should be able to access high-quality reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortion, also known as the safe and legal murder of children. You cannot be a practicing Catholic and be part of the current Democratic Party, knowing that this group is actively working for the killing of the unborn. I am going to say that again. You cannot be a practicing Catholic and be part of the current Democratic Party, knowing that this group is actively working for the killing of the unborn. You cannot be part of a group or an association that's focus is to bring about moral evils. This is why for centuries, the Catholic Church has made it very clear that you cannot be a Freemason, because there are foundational principles of the Freemasons that are contrary to the Catholic faith. You cannot be part of something which is essential to it, moral evils, because you cannot be part of something and not support what is essential to it, picking and choosing what you want, what you like. It's like saying, well, I'm a football player. I'm part of a football team, but personally, I'm against aggressive behavior. It's part of being a football player. You can't do that. Now, there may be Catholics who are part of the Democratic Party that do not realize that this is currently what the Democratic Party stands for and is trying to bring about. But you know now, and you have a moral obligation not to be part of that. There is a moral obligation here not to be part of them, regardless of whatever other good things you might think the Democratic Party is trying to bring about. Murder is a line you cannot cross. Now, to be very clear, Donald Trump is not the savior of America. He is not some promised Messiah sent by God, which I have heard him presented as such. He also has made moral compromises, which means that he is morally compromised. Let's call a spade a spade. However, through him, more children's lives will be saved from the evils of abortion. And he has demonstrated this already through his previous term as Roe versus Wade was overturned under him. And each of us has a moral obligation to do what we can to save as many human lives as we possibly can from being murdered in the womb. The only way we are going to make America great is by observing God's moral law. All of God's moral law, not just the ones that are convenient or the ones that we prefer. When all you have are two bad options, the only choice that you can make is the one that is going to bring about the greatest good. And the greatest good in this case is saving innocent human life from being murdered. Remember, the church doesn't tell you how to vote. God tells you how to vote. And God is the creator of human life in the womb. So vote to save that human life in the womb.